He's going to give it a massive crack. He might come eighth, which isn't last. He might come eighth in the world. He might win. And it's going to be a pretty exciting 1 minute 44, I reckon. He's got a, there's a huge field. There's I think it's five of the six fastest this year. There's two guys that are in the top five all time. So, you know, he's going to beat some good runners if he wins. But he's in it, isn't he?
He certainly is. Welcome back to Sports Day. That is, I won't say the voice of Australian athletics at the moment, because that is still the great Bruce McAvaney, but he's very, very close in that being Dave Culbert. What an extraordinary job he and Bruce and Tamsin have done on the athletics coverage for Channel 7 this Olympics, Jared. But as we build up to the 800 tonight, Peter Boll is aiming to do something that hasn't been done in 53 years. In fact, he's already done that, because he's the first Australian, Jared, since the great Ralph Dubell, who is just about to join us, to make the 800 metres final of an Olympics. And we're all very, very excited. It could be a special moment tonight.
It could be. And I tell you what, Ralph Dubell will be pretty happy with the way he's aged, because he's 76 years of age. But just looking at his time, Richo, he would have made the final himself.
Absolutely. Personal best 144.30. And Peter Boll last night ran 144.11. So 0.2 slower than Peter Boll.
Well, let's welcome the man who picked up gold in 1968 in Ralph Dubell. Welcome to the program, Ralph. Firstly, congratulations on everything you did in the world of athletics, and it's just great to talk to a living legend.
Well, I'm just about living at the moment. You know, age 76, I'm probably past my prime.
Are you still up watching the athletics, and is this a special night for you, given what you did all those years ago?
Oh, absolutely. I think, yeah, Peter's run extremely well, and I'd love to see him succeed. Yeah, he's got a hell of a challenge in front of him, but if he succeeded, I think he'll bring the house down.
Hey, Ralph, can we just ask you, in 68, how was the race actually run? I mean, a lot of people, and Jared was talking to Dave earlier tonight, you know, about how can Peter actually win this, and we think that he's going to have to go out pretty hard and hold off some fast finishes. How was your race run in the end?
Well, I ran faster than Kiprigut.
Simple as that.
Basically, Kiprigut, it was a race between Kiprigut and myself.
Yep.
We'd beaten all the other competitors, and it was a two-man race, essentially. And Kiprigut ran one type of race, and he'd go out fast and try to run everyone into the ground. And I was a sit back and kicker. The race turned out exactly as expected. Kiprigut went to the lead. I started very slowly because I was accused of breaking the first round. And so I wasn't going to break again. So I started very slowly. I was probably 30 metres behind the leader after 150 metres. But I had a race plan that said that at the bell lap, I want to be third or fourth on the outside of the field within reach of the leader. And I was exactly there. Kiprigut was leading, went through 50.98 seconds the first lap. At 300 metres, I moved up to second and said to myself, okay, pal, it's between you and me now. And at that stage, I sort of had a feeling, why don't I go for it? Go and try and pass Kiprigut, who was the press favourite. I was relatively unknown, although track and field, the Bible of the sport, thought I had a likely medalist and possible gold medalist, but the Australian press didn't really recognise that. So 300 metres ago, I moved to second. I was about 2 to 3 metres behind Kiprigut, and I said, okay, wait till you come into the final straight and then kick. Which I did, and then coming into the final straight, I moved up level with him, next 30 to 40 metres, struggling to get past him, and about 50 metres ago, the elastic bands broke, and I broke contact with Kiprigut, and so the next 40, 50 metres, I was yelling to myself, I've won it, across the line, and then you say, well, what happens next?
Sensational. Ralph, so looking at the race tonight with Peter, I mean, he's not going to be able to run it like you did. He's not going to be able to sit back at the start and run the other guys down, probably Amos from Botswana. So do you think he has to go out hard and do what your competitor did in 1968?
Well, I don't know what his strengths are. and I've never spoken to him. I haven't spoken to his coach, and I haven't seen him run all that much. But if you look at the race, there's nine people in the final. One person's run 141, three have run 142, two have run 143, and three have run 144. And Peter's in the 144 group. So I think the race is going to be won with a time of about 141 to 142. So Peter needs to improve by 2 to 3 seconds. And that's a hell of a challenge.
Mm. Is that achievable, do you think, tonight?
Well, I improved my time from semifinal to final by 1.4 seconds, which I thought was pretty good. But Peter's got a greater challenge to improve by 2 to 3 seconds. I think there's another factor which has sort of gone under the radar, that Nigel Amos from Botswana is in the final, but he only had to run 700 meters in the semifinal.
Yeah.
So he didn't have the exhaustion of running a 142 or 143, 144 in the semi. He was tripped or fell over in the semifinal, and somehow he's been reinstated into the final. So he's got a slight competitive advantage, physical advantage. He's also the fastest runner in the field. He's got a 141, which he ran in the 2012 Olympics in London. So, you know, you've got a very competitive field there. And I don't know what tactic Peter will employ, but, you know, it's up to him to figure out what his strengths are and what the strengths and weaknesses are of the other runners and devise a strategy and stick to that strategy.
Can we go back to 68, Ralph? And, I mean, one of the great things that's associated with the Mexico City Olympics is the altitude issue and the impact it had on Ron Clark. Did it impact on you in particular?
There's eternal debate on that question.
Yep.
The general feeling before the games was events for lasting more than 2 minutes were affected. For events lasting less than 2 minutes, that you were not affected. So I took the attitude, the faster you ran, the less effect the altitude had on you.
Yep.
And you don't want to complicate these things. And I found that the challenge in Mexico was more the altitude as a recovering from day one to day two to day three.
Mm-hmm.
In my day, 53 years ago, the heat semifinal and final were on three consecutive days, whereas the 800 meters this year is on heat and semifinal on consecutive days, and then a 3 day rest and before the final. So it's hard to compare apples with oranges.
You grew up in McKinnon. I take it you spent a fair bit of time at the Duncan McKinnon Reserve going round and round and round. When did you know you were going to become an 800 metre runner? When did you actually specialise?
When I was 18, when I started the university.
And you went to Melbourne Uni?
I was at Melbourne University. I always thought I could run fast.
Yeah.
But at the age of 14, I was in the C-grade house sports at Melbourne High School, and I was in the triple jump, and I didn't win it. I didn't win any school events until sort of the second half of matriculation of year 12, I think it's called these days.
Yep.
So I was just a late developer. I hope to start shaving next week.
Ralph, we are honoured to have you on. It's so good to speak to the last Australian to make the 800 final. Let's hope that after tonight there's two in the last 53 years who have won it.
Well, it'd be fantastic because then it'd be three. There's only three so far. Australian men have won track gold medals. Hopefully there's a fourth.
Wow.
And three of them would be in the 800 metres.
Good on you, Ralph. Ralph Dupin.
Edwin Flacken, 1896.
Yep.
Myself and hopefully Peter Boll.
Hopefully Peter Boll as well. Well done, Ralph. Ralph Dubell, the last Australian to make the 800 final. Let's hope, like he did, Peter wins tonight.